Now may I speak to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 So today is Mothering Sunday. Like I said earlier, Mothering Sunday always falls on the fourth Sunday in Lent, a tradition that began during the 16th century when people attended a church service held in the Mother Church, which was then the large church or cathedral in the area. And I said I was going to expand on that, so there we are. Most historians think that it was this return to the Mother Church. And it's the reason why even now we talk about the parish of this, the parish of that, because that's how the churches were grouped as parishes. So it was this return to the Mother Church which led to the tradition of children, particularly those children working as domestic servants away from home and being given the day off to visit their mother church with their own mothers at that time and their own family members. And it is worth noting that in this time, in the 16th century, it was normal for children as young as 10 years old to be in work. History also states that as the children walked the country lanes, they would pick wildflowers and violets, which they would place in church or give to their mothers as a gift. So this is where this tradition has sprung from. Mothering Sunday was also known as Refreshment Sunday because the fasting rules for Lent were relaxed. Remember, we're in the season of Lent, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Not all of us do that for various reasons, but whenever we can, we do. Although normally we don't fast on a Sunday, but the fasting rules are relaxed so that we can have this celebratory time in this season. And even receiving hoses, in a little while, by the end of the service, we will have our own gifts of flowers from Southgate Methodist Church, which they have kindly prepared to help us to celebrate Mothering Sunday. So some people have also historically referred to Mothering Sunday as Pudding Pie Sunday. Have you heard that before?
No.
Pudding Pie Sunday, or like I said, Refreshment Sunday, or Rose Sunday, or Simnel. Have you heard about Simnel Sunday?
No.
No? All right. Do you know Simnel Cake? Have you heard about Simnel Cake?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. How do you make Simnel Cake? What are the ingredients for Simnel Cake?
Marzipan.
Lots of marzipan, is it? Yes. Well, that was a real big feature in some places. I think even up until now, in my previous circuit in South Bedfordshire, in Luton, we used to visit the church, I think it was in Leighton Buzzard, where they have a plaque there, you know, that talked about how they used to make Simnel Cake, you know, to honor Mothering Sunday, which is very interesting. So, in bringing together all these things, our lectionary texts we've had, the scripture readings for today, the hymns and the prayers are full of allusions to that theme of nurturing, of loving, of caring, of enabling, remembering, etc. So grace and peace to each one of you today, and especially to those for whom this day is difficult, for whatever reason that might be. And of course, a lot has happened since the 16th century, when all this idea of Mothering Sunday started. We know how commercialized this has become today. We have all sorts of mothers as well. You know, when you think about 16th century, when you talk about mothers, maybe there was only one way to look at it. But today, we have different types of mothers. We have biological mothers. We have surrogate mothers. We have adopted mothers. We have all sorts of mothers. And there's something really special about having those mother qualities. Qualities of being caring, loving, compassionate, fathers don't do that. In fact, some fathers are much better than mothers in caring and nurturing and looking after and all that sort of thing. But this day, today, is allocated, you know, to celebrating mothers. So we stick to that. And we know that there are bad mothers as well. Mothers who've done terrible things to the children, even going as far as killing their own children. So Mothering Sunday can be full of surprises, whether it's cakes or flowers, houses or Mother's Day cards. It can be a time of very strong emotions for some people, like I said before, for a whole host of reasons, and we have to recognize that. We hold in our prayers those for whom today is very difficult. But despite all the challenges, Mothering Sunday gives us an opportunity to pause in the austerity of Lent, to have this time of celebration, very similar to Gaudete Sunday when we're doing the Advent season. The third Sunday in Advent is called Gaudete Sunday. It's a Sunday of rejoicing, when we pause, you know, and just celebrate in that time. So over the years, I have spoken to so many people in different congregations and settings who have found the value of celebrating Mothering Sunday worthwhile. They say it is good to be reminded that we are all God's children. And I was so happy when we were singing, He's got the whole world in His hands. We are all God's children. Whether we are returning to the Mother Church or meeting people for the first time, we have a shared parenthood by virtue of our common humanity. And Mothering Sunday brings into sharp focus our connectedness to one another in the church family and to God, our Creator. Today we remind ourselves of the fact that we are all part of God's family. This is why when we started, you know, we got anybody worshiping with us for the first time? Should I ask that question again? Because we had a few people coming in after. Have we got people worshiping with us for the first time? We're family. We have a connected, shared values in this place. But we look forward to welcoming new people because we want to expand the family. We want to grow the family of God. And so it is that looking through the lectionary readings set for today, those passages in Ephesians and in John, I was drawn especially to gospel passage, to the much loved and well-known gospel passage of John 3:16. Do we know John 3:16? Yes? Can somebody recite it for me?
God so loved the world that He gave His only Son.
Thank you very much. That's it. We used to cram it in our heads when I was at church in my childhood times. You know, that one you have to know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I read somewhere that passage, the verse has been translated into more languages than any other piece of literature. The verse millions of children memorize before any other thing that they learn in school or something. And verse 17 draws up from that is, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That powerful image of God sending His Son, Jesus, to save the world. I know it is, we have to live in that tension that God sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us. We just see Him calling who these. The scary images, those crown of thorns. Who wants crown of thorns on their heads? We want beautiful tiaras, beautiful crowns. But not crown of thorns. But this is what Jesus had to go through to die for you and for me. So that we're able to stand and celebrate. Moses to erect a serpent on a pole was to save people from death. The Son came to save. The Son came to grant eternal life because God loved the world. God loves you and me. Jesus is God's expression of love and longing. The light comes to find us. We hear that in the Ephesians reading. To illuminate our path for our sake. Because Jesus wants us. God reaches out through the Son with the sheer purpose of sharing everlasting life with us. God doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. That all of creation is worthy of God's salvation. So Jesus invites us to remember Moses lifting up the bronze serpent for the Israelites to gaze upon in order to be healed from the deadly bites of the snakes sent to punish them. And he sketches the image to himself. And for those of us who read the passage in Genesis, we know the rest of the story and what that means in terms, if we compare it to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the real love, of course, comes when we realize that there is room in the light for all of God's beloved creation. So let us be encouraged, my dear brothers and sisters at Southgate, to step into the light of God, to make room for other sinners or saints, as we might call them, and to get to the work that God has called us to do. God does love the world. God loves you and me, and all the rest of his creation, all the dogs and the cats and the sheep and the cow and the birds and everything else. God created them. God loves all of them. We have a responsibility of caring for creation as well. The amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is that of gathering up, looking at our sins, looking at our failures, looking at our pains, our brokenness, looking at our past, our present situation, our great illusions of foresight, looking back into the reality of Christ's death and resurrection, which the cross in front of us reminds us today on this fourth Sunday in May as well. This is huge. This is so huge that many of us cannot seem to fathom its size or its scope. Instead, kind of like it shrinks in our head. And you know, the more we think about it, the more we are amazed at all of this journey in Lent, at what Jesus went through, the more we are amazed at God's creation, building motherhood, thinking about Mary, the mother of Christ, thinking about how, you know, the birth of Christ came about, thinking about the various things that mothers, that women go through. We've just celebrated International Women's Day. Whatever we might want to think about being sexist or something, there's something particular about womanhood. There's something, maybe we can say special, about that thing, about being able to look after, nurturing a child, bringing up a child. And like I said, I'm not dismissing fatherhood at all. It's just that today we're celebrating womanhood and motherhood and mothers. So let's listen to what God is saying once more in that passage in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And there it is in a nutshell. God in Jesus has made God's own decision And that decision is for us. Yes, we can run, but we cannot change the fact that God loves us. That God, in fact, loves the whole world more than we can imagine. And so no wonder this is the world's most popular Bible verse, because it is indeed good news. It is the best news. But first, it's hard to think that there has to be some kind of sacrifice. And because we're not in control as well. And because it is not up to us, it is up to God. And because every time we hear how much God loves us, we also know that we had nothing to do with it. We cannot influence it. And therefore, that is out of our control. And sometimes that can make us afraid. That in spite of terrible things, the Bible tells us that there's rejoicing in heaven when one, just one sinner repents. There's so much trouble going on in the world. There's so much terrible things going on in the world. And sometimes when people do bad, terrible things, we're wondering, can God forgive this? Us as human beings, maybe we cannot forgive. We're encouraged to forgive, but God forgives. And only if we can come to that place of repentance and say, God, I'm sorry for my wrongdoings. God forgives and holds us and gives us love. Which is why we always come, when we come to worship, we have our prayer of confession. Sometimes we don't think that we have committed any sin because we do all the right things. Sometimes the sin is just in our thoughts. Sometimes we just think something bad we don't realize. But those are the things that we just have to ask God, you know, if I thought about this in a terrible way, I didn't mean it. God, please forgive me. So that's God's unconditional, uncontrollable love that can frighten us sometimes. That sometimes we ask God, why would you accept such a person to come into your home, into your church, into your life? That's a terrible person. But John says as much in today's reading. At the end of the reading it says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. And people loved darkness rather than light, because the deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. Again, going back to Advent and Christmas, we know that the light comes and darkness does not overshadow the light. The light shines and the darkness does not overwhelm it. So desiring to maintain some semblance of control at any cost, we sometimes run away from the light, fleeing God's loving embrace, but only to find ourselves trapped in the darkness of our own devices. So it is better to come to the light, to confess our sins, to ask for forgiveness, and to let God's light shine on us so that we in turn will be light to others. We in turn, as we've saw, brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Didn't we say that I will mold the Christ light for you? So along comes life. And God gives us this light. God's grace becomes the best news you can imagine. Because we are not in control. His grace is free. Our founder of the Methodist Church talked about prevenient grace. His grace that we don't deserve, but God gives it to us anyhow. God has taken responsibility for that one. God has promised to love and to care unconditionally. And of course, this does not mean that we have nothing to do about it, that we just go on sinning, that we don't contribute anything to making our lives better. No, definitely not. Once we have been loved this fully, this completely, we can, our own selves, love each other, throwing ourselves into the struggles and celebrations all around us, always working for the good of our neighbor and of the world, propelled forward by the knowledge that God loves us and this world so much. So there's plenty to do with that. And so, my dear brothers and sisters at Southgate, in this Lenten season of repentance and on this Mothering Sunday, and as we process all the personal and communal hurts with the images streaming on our TV sets, on our radio, on other social media outlets, things that we see from Israel and Palestine, for example, from Ukraine, from Nigeria, from other parts of the world, some of them we don't even get to know about them. May we in these times turn towards the light of Christ within and around us. That in our praying, that in our fasting, that in our giving of alms, we may experience God's peace and comfort. And to know that for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.